happened before.
In fact, we started bang on 8 o'clock. Literally, as I clicked live, it went 8. That was amazing.
You can set your watch by us.
I really wouldn't. Good evening, Bruce. You okay?
He looks bloody miserable, doesn't he?
He looks like he's contemplating.
No, I'm just miserable. Yeah, I'm not miserable, Mike. I'm sad.
I've got a lovely bottle of Malbec, and I was going to use it for tonight, but I think I'll wait till Tuesday because that might be a Malbec job. Just in case. I'll just go with extra large beer for the moment. Sup, boys. Jack, where do we begin? What is up, Jack? Absolutely. Yeah, I don't know where we start with that.
Alex, can I just stop you? Shouldn't we start with Peter Handyside, really? With a bit of respect.
Well, yes. Absolutely.
That's far bigger for me than any of the shit that's going on the pitch at the minute, to be honest.
Yeah, of course, Bruce. I was going to do it after the thingy because it would have given me time to put some videos up because I thought you'd have put them up.
I've just put a couple up, but I just think it's shit, mate. It's awful. Really, really sad. And it's just no age, is it? 49. It's just, I don't know. I did wonder what was happening. You know, I don't know what's happened and nobody does and we don't need to, but you know, it just would have been nice to have had him back at one of these reunions or something so we could have, the fans could have shown him what they thought of him, really. Because he was a classy player. Sam's too young, isn't he? Sam's too young, but you two,
Sam's did
you
too young
see
as
him,
well, mate.
Did you see him play? Did you see him play, Alex? Yeah, I don't know. It's just, It just put things in perspective a little bit when something like that happens, and it's out, you know, it's out of the blue. But I just tweeted earlier, I was in the players' lounge because Maisie and her teammates were ball girls yesterday, and there's the pictures, and you're looking round, and I don't go in the main stand very often, and I've been in that bar a few times in the last year or two at the youth games and things like that, but you've got all these pictures, these grainy old pictures, and you don't expect people like that to still be around, you know, things that aren't in living memory. And then you've got the Wembley 98 stuff in there, and you've got him and his teammates, and that's all in colour. And, you know, it's, you know, most of the people, probably 85% of the people in the room where we were, they would have known that. And you just don't expect it. It's just, it's just sad, mate. I'm gutted, you know, and got it for his teammates and, you know, and for his friends and his family. I don't know. How much did you see him play? When did you start going?
Who, me? No, I started in 94, so he was absolutely in my era. I was hoping we'd do a little bit more justice in this, but it's a real shock. He was probably, I liked him more than Mark Lever. He was, you know, there's a reason why one of the words that came to my mind and then kept coming up on Twitter unprompted was Rolls Royce. Like, you know, in terms of a player, I don't think there was any more one that I saw. I was before Futcher in terms of my memories and stuff. I can't remember Futcher. But I, you know, in terms of that, him and Mark Lever at the back were a, you know, such a, you know, collaborative pair. That it was, you know, it was a joy to watch. And it's one of those things in which you don't, when you're sort of, you know, early, you know, 8, 9, 10 years old, it's not necessarily someone you take into consideration and, you know, too early to enjoy it. And I just remember just being dependable and there was never a worry. And, you know, he had everything you'd want in a player. I've always been surprised he never went higher. He was as good as, you know, he was good enough to play in the top division without a problem. I know he did well at Stoke, but, you know, in terms of what he could have done, he was comfortable on the ball. He was, you know, balletic in the air, I think is probably the best way to describe it. Had that sort of intelligence of bringing it out and looking for the options. And, you know, one of the things I always look for is a player with a brain at work and with a mind ticking over. And all I just remember is, you know, sometimes it's easy to, you know, as a right, to just get it to McDermott and he would run with it. But the link-up plays that he could do. And, you know, we were up against, you know, the likes of Steve Bull and, you know, Ian Wright at times and stuff like that. You know, the people he came
Good players, yeah, good players. When you think now that, you know, and I don't want to, I didn't want to compare it yesterday because it's he like... Can't. No, I don't mean that. But you, like you say, though, when you look that we've got defenders and players that are struggling at this level now.
Sorry,
we've got players that are, you know, that are struggling at the bottom end of, and then you look at the level that he played at when he was at Town, and like you say, yeah, you just makes you realise how good, you know, how good a player he and his his teammates were. And I just, you know, I may be railroading things, and if I did, I apologise. But I just think that's, you know, I mean, yesterday was absolute dog shit, and we'll come on to that. But I just think it's sad, and they were, you know, that and that he and his comrades are players that people will talk about what they did at Wembley and the promotions and stuff like that in years to come, you know, regardless of what happens to people and what's, you know, sadly what's happened to him, they will be talked about. And there's not a lot of the players, three or four, that in 25 years time that have played in the last, you know, probably since his generation went, that people will talk about, sadly, because we've obviously been through tough times.
I think a lot of Town fans struggle with this as well, especially of sort of our age. We do struggle with that difference. It's a different game. It's an entirely different, you're meant to judge it on a different level and a different sort of thing. You know, I think they talked about Glenn Hoddle, you know, I think Glenn Hoddle was one where he was a manager and he was trying to explain what to do, but he was so much more talented than the players he had. That he couldn't,
yeah, he couldn't handle it, could he?
You no. couldn't get it across to what you need to do. So we'll just do that. It's as easy as breathing. And I think there's a lot of that in the current crop and in terms of what, you know, Peter could do and what, you know, Paul Groves could do, what Clive could do, you know, list them, just list them. There's no comparison. It's a different game. And what they could do is just phenomenal. I just remember them just, everything just felt like I knew we were the underdogs, and I'm coming at it from a childlike mind, so apologies if I'm doing it a disservice, but you're coming at it from an underdog perspective, but you always felt like you were in the fight, and you always felt like there was that chance, and it was like, it wasn't a case of we're going to get battered, it's like, actually, we're going to cause an upset today, and we're going to, you know, and players like Peter, and players, you know, just phenomenal, and he went on to do bigger things when he left us as well, you know, with Stoke and the like, but what a player, and you know, can you remember when Riley Towler came? I was calling him Baby Handerside because
you were, and it's just the way that they play. It's the way they play the game, isn't it? And the, you know, and you talked about, you know, him and Mark Lever, and obviously, you know, he played. I would have to check, but you know, we always used to say that he was learning off Futch, and whether the two of them played together on many occasions,
they must have
maybe. Maybe, but I don't know. I can't remember. But you know, he played with Richard Smith, and he played with, you know, and later in he probably played. You know, Livo played back there a little bit, but that might have been after Peter had gone. But he, you know, he obviously played with Mark the most. But going back to what you said about him playing at a higher level, I looked back and he played 200 games with Town, but I think he sort of started. In like 93, probably, something like that, 92, 93. I think his debut might have been 92. And he was with us until 2001, I want to say, at the end of that season, the first season under Lenny Lawrence, I think.
Yeah, he left in 2001.
Yeah, then we had the season, didn't we, where Lawrence started it and Groves kept us up at the end of it. With the loans and all that, 2001 too, didn't we? Before we went down, but he was here quite a long time. And he played 200 games. And when you look back, but he did suffer with quite a few injuries, unfortunately. And maybe that's what, like, you know, stopped him. One of the things that stopped him getting to the levels that you're talking about, because he clearly looked like he could be there, and the funnily enough, the season that he was most prolific in terms of games played was the 97-98 season, you know, and a player like that in your team, maybe it's no coincidence that along with other, you know, the other top good players that, that played in a lot of those games that we were so successful.
Tommy Widrington says Peter was Alan Hansen with a bad haircut.
Yeah, it did wash about a bit. It did fly about a bit when I tweeted a picture earlier.
It was the 90s, though, wasn't it? Everyone's excuse. Charlie wanted curtains last week. You know, they're excused, aren't they?
I couldn't even grow my hair long in the 90s, mate.
they were curtains. He was dead. Bruce was desperately trying to grow curtains, but it ended up just looking like in a mohawk because there was nothing on the sides to
cover. It used to be curly when I was young. It used to be all curly and that, but yeah. But anyway, I probably said what I need to say, but yeah, and I just think that, you know, it's fitting that the pod pays the respects to him because I just, like I say, it's just really sad. It's no age. He was a good player. His teammates say what a good lad he was, and you get the same thing from people that knew him around the town. So, yeah, may he rest in peace.
It's a bit of a seminal moment for people of my age. You know, it's the first of that ilk. Futcher was just a little bit before me, where you know, the players are, you know, sadly finding a different way. Tommy Woodrington also says he welcomed me to town with open arms, which is all what you've been hearing as well from past players as well, isn't it, Bruce?
Yeah, everybody just, like you say, everybody just says what a top player he was and a top lad. And it's no age, and like you say, it's sad, isn't it, when you are losing players from that era, and you shouldn't be.
No, absolutely no age. We will we'll come back in a second with, you know, the usual foaming at the mouth. We'll just cut to the music, and we'll come back in a sec.
Peter Handyside goes to the near post. Richard Smith is in there, gets it. Peter Handyside! 1-0! Peter Handyside! It was beautifully won by Smithy, the big centre-half. Got it to the far post, and in came Peter Handyside. That's a well-worked corner, Dave.
Yes, obviously worked well in the training ground.
And now the shipping forecast issued by the Met Office on behalf of the Maritime and Coast Guard Agency at 1130.
Go!
At 1130.
I don't think I've ever wanted to be on a stand more than my life around here. They're going crazy.
Hey, they got a penalty here. They've been fish flying about there. There's no tomorrow.
What a magnificent piece of football!
A really, really good shot. You can't make a strike like that.
Good evening, everybody. Welcome to the DN35 podcast. Thank you very much for joining us. We will start with the manager of rampant Aldershot Town saying beating Stockport isn't for everyone. Town sadly going down 3-1 to the league leaders. And as always, Town social media and Town fans have taken it with the... Well, Bruce has already gone. With the grace and, you know, style that we are expected. Town lose to the league leaders. Surely that's expected, gents. Let's go to Bruce because I found his reaction.
I was going to sit back and let the other two say something.
Well, I'm quite happy to sit back and just drink because I really don't know what to make of it compared to many. And we'll be really grateful for people to give their opinions as well. In that case, if you've heard enough of Bruce, and I won't get the last of the summer wine theme, let's go to Sam, who is currently sat in Betty's tea room, to give his thoughts on the defeat to league leaders Stockport County. I nearly got his name wrong.
um,
Sorry if I'm a bit of a delay. I think I've noticed your mouths aren't quite in sync with your thing, so I'm suspecting I'm not quite right. But yesterday,
that's
I actually
right.
thought we, for the first 10-15 minutes, we were actually okay on the ball, that is. As usual, we were looking like we'd nearly scored.
Sorry, Sam, how many...
But we weren't getting out.
Sam, I know you're in delay, so my apologies. How long did you think we were good for? Do you say 15 minutes?
10 or 15, until they
by the time we were 2-0 down.
10.
Okay.
10 or 15.
You mean second, Sam?
I'm sorry, Sam.
On the book. Was it 10 or 15? When did we fall? Well, when did
9 minutes and 14 minutes.
When did we... Oh, right. 9 minutes and 14 seconds. Okay, for the first... Until they scored, sorry, I'd forgotten they'd scored so early, actually. I thought they'd scored on more like 15. And for the first 7 or 8 minutes then, okay, we weren't that bad on the ball. On the ball, I should make that absolutely clear. But after that, again, kind of, as Artel said, we've shot ourselves in the foot. It's a poor ball by Cartwright. But honestly, that's going to happen given the way we're playing. I'd look at more the second and third goal. The second goal is just us asleep. We're not concentrating at all. I don't care what way you're playing. That's unacceptable. If you're just kind of dozing and not paying attention, you can't. I don't. That's just you've got to look at whoever's just standing in front of the ball and stop it. It's very straightforward. Everyone else does it. Why can't we? And the third one, I don't know if you've seen the marking for it or lack thereof, but I know it's a good header from the lad on the penalty spot. But there's no one around him. The lad's just marking thin air in between on the sort of right hand side of the 6-yard box. And then I suppose there's one part of me that says, okay, thereafter we've won the second half 1-0. I know that's a really kind of cringy cliche, but you could argue we showed a little bit of resilience and didn't kind of capitulate like we might have done beforehand. But you could also say that's because they've taken their foot off the gas and not really pressed because they've got game one and they'll have another game on Tuesday night as well.
Sam, are you able to come back up at the moment, and to be honest come back with in you. Again? Are you able to come back in and come back, log in and log off again? Because you're well behind, mate. Is that all right? Mike, what were your thoughts while Sam sets himself? Because he's clearly in the past.
Yeah, I don't think he's too far wrong. I mean, there's two things, really. Sort of what you said earlier about losing to the league leaders. Yeah, I don't think anybody expects anything different, but that doesn't make it acceptable. And it's also about the manner in which you do it. Now, if we'd had a really good go and Stockport had created some, unplayable phases of play and played us off the park, you can hold your hands up and say it happens. It's happened to better teams than us. And you can accept that. But I think the manner in all three goals that we conceded just leave that nasty taste in the mouth. You know, as Sam was saying, the first one, a lot's been talked about playing out from the back, and I'm sure we'll talk about it here. Now, that, to me, has nothing to do with playing out from the back because it's simply a ball. You shouldn't just be pinging into the middle of the park. You know, it's nothing about playing out from the back. That's just poor decisions when you've got the football. You know, that's just poor decisions. Second one, we don't slow the ball down. You know, it's a transition, and we move out of the way and let them play it through the middle, and they waltz in and 2-0 and 3-0, absolute comical defender. I think we had 9 defenders in the box of their 3 players, and we give them a free header on the penalty spot. Mental. Second half, absolutely, we came out and we sort of dominated the second half. But if that game is 1-1 at halftime, Stockport don't take their foot off the gas and they keep going. I think they managed the game really well. They didn't want to get involved in anything else. So I'm not disappointed with the defeat. I'm disappointed in the manner of it. You know, you expect a team to, as good as Stockport are and the money they've paid, to be able to play you off the park, and to just do it for them is just infuriating. You know, we don't need to do teams like Stockport a favour by just giving them 3 goals. And that really concerns me, just the lack of the basic naivety when defending. It's just not gone anywhere. It's still there. You know, we've brought players in, we've brought a new manager in, we're playing a different way, and they're still just naive. And that's what got me yesterday.
Bruce, you had obviously I watched it from Bordeaux with Mike. Bonjour, monsieur, ça va? But can you tell me something about the pass for the first goal? Because we can't, Sasevic is not in the shot at the time when Cartwright makes that pass to Thompson. He had Marr clear, and he also has Rodgers clear, who he's just received the ball from. Was Thompson in front of him and Sasevic was just quicker to react? Or was it generally just a shocking pass?
I couldn't... excuse me, if I'm honest, mate, I was in the worst spot in the ground yesterday to tell you that. And I haven't brought myself to watch it back again on TV. I generally tend to, most weeks, just delete the IT the Goal show without watching it because I don't want to see it again.
You go into proper Mugabe lockdown, do you? It's like an Eastern country block.
I don't want to watch it. I've seen it once. Once is fucking bad enough.
I'm going to start making you North Korean star highlights where Grimsby win 2-0. Yeah.
So I can't tell you. What I can tell you is that you press us hard, and what happens is we knock it about, and it gets quicker and quicker and quicker because they want to get rid of it because they've got a player coming, and then we lose possession, and that's what happens. And they ping it to each other. They don't really want it. They don't really. We're just not doing the basics. I know you wanted to talk about Thompson and the pass, but I didn't see it. But we're just not, like Mike says, we're just not doing basic defending. It doesn't matter who you've got in charge. I don't care what formation we're playing yesterday. Like Mike just said, if they've got two up on a set piece, if they left two up or one up or two up or whatever, when we're defending a set piece, at 9 years old, you know to leave three players back. You have two that mark up and you have one that... So how they break on us, no matter how good... I mean, it was a good ball. It split us. Either somebody's not gone back with their runner that's made a move as soon as the set piece is taken, which is, like Mike says, he's naive, it's lazy, it's downright thick, it's whatever. We just... Yes, we did all right in the second half, but like the other two have said, it didn't matter by then. The game was done. It was done after 20 minutes. It's just, you get, and I know the crowd doesn't count for anything, and Sunderland fans, they get thousands and they put in, but it's just week after week, and we have to work so hard, apart from when we play Notts County, we have to work so hard for every goal that we score, and we just give away easy goals that are just shit. They didn't have to do anything special yesterday to beat us, and that does disappoint me. Yes, they're top of the league, but we didn't give them a game yesterday. We were out the game before we were in it, and it was through our own naivety and general shitness, and that really, really is painful to watch again and again and again. I don't know what we do about it.
I mean, that second goal, tell me if I'm wrong, Bruce, but the basic one I want to defend is when you're on transition, slow it down, stop it. You know, we've got two players around that free kick and they move out the way to let him hit it. You know, before anybody's not tracking back or getting in the way of the pass, it's just, you know, they move out of the way. You go, oh, go on, then hit it. They saw him running up to take it and moved out of the way. Take the yellow card, stop the transition. Against a team like Stockport...
It's not even a yellow card, is it?
They don't even generally get booked for that anymore.
No, but I mean, against that's a team like Stockport...
standing on a free kick.
Stockport are so good in transition. They're so good on the break. They've got quick plays. As a central midfielder or anybody that's responsible for picking play up when you lose the ball high up the pitch, you've got to have in right in the middle of your head, stop the transition, stop them moving the ball forward quickly. And just go on then, lads, off you go. Got to make it 2-0, game over. It's shocking. It's not losing, it's the manner of just giving them it. You know, that could have been Sutton, it could have been anybody. They're going to score those goals. You don't need to give teams goals. They're quite capable of scoring against us themselves.
Is talking about playing from the back... John Tonda put it out that, and Dave Artell said it as well, that was the first goal we'd conceded that could be linked to playing out from the back. Is that a false flag? Were people's frustrations not because of we were playing out from the back, but we were actually just because we were 3-0 down after 28 minutes? Bruce, you were there, so you could probably get a better idea if that's the case. Because I don't think it's to do with playing out from the back.
I think people are fed up of the performances that we're putting in. And as a result, when we're for want of a better word, you know, fanning around with it at the back, if that's what it, you know, I know we're trying to do something, but yesterday I didn't see us create many things that came from playing out from the back. When we did that, maybe it was me, maybe I was where I was looking, maybe it's just what I'm choosing to remember. I don't know. Somebody can correct me if I'm wrong, but we just seem to play three or four passes. And like I say, the players get under more and more pressure if you press us, which they did yesterday. And then the passes become more and more frantic and we lose it. And I don't remember us sort of building a move that had more, you know, seven or eight passes in it. Yet I do remember Stockport retaining the ball a lot better than us, not trying to play in the same way that we are, which was so heavily possession based.
Both Dave Artell and the Stockport commentators called it naive. Was there a element of tactical naivety to continue to play out the back? From what I know from Stockport is they are, you know, and Challoner mentioned it, Ellidis, who's come in as a Stockport fan, saying Challoner mentioned in his post-match about setting traps for us when you're playing out, being part of the target, being part of the tactic. Is it a tactical naivety on Dave Artell's part to persist with that against a team who are far superior? And if it is, what are the alternatives? Because I think we've all been at games this season where the ball has been lumped up to, you know, Danny Rose, who's great at holding it up and heading it at times, but is usually cuts quite a lonely figure up there. I'll throw that to you guys. Was it a tactical naivety, I guess, is what I was going to say.
I'm not so sure.
I mean, what you would hope that players that, you know, they're all experienced players at the back there, you know, a couple of hundred appearances each. So they've all played football. You would hope they would understand if a team do X, you do Y, you know, and this links back a little bit to what Hurst was saying before he left about people can't make decisions for them. And going back to that first goal, there's no way on earth that you'll play zipping a ball into there in those circumstances. So I don't know if it's tactical naivety or if it's just our players that don't know when to play the right pass at the right time. Now you can argue about what the reason for that is, but that's what it looks like to me, because I don't think there's a problem with playing out from the back per se. It's how we do that. That's the issue to me. He's quite right. I can't remember a goal that we've conceded from playing out from the back. We concede goals because we're just crap at defending most of the time. And when we actually do get the ball down, we look a decent team. I've no problem with us playing it to the full to the centre backs that have pulled wide and things. The issue I have is then when they ping it back into the middle of the park where we are weak, you know. So I don't necessarily think it's a tactical problem or an issue with playing out from the back per se. It's how you do it. And just generally speaking about the noise around it, I remember when Paul Hurst was in his last days and everybody was banging on about wanting some attractive football, put it on the deck and pass it around. That's what then happens. And then you have to think, well, you know, we might have gone too far the wrong way, but this is what a lot of people wanted us to play. And it's sometimes it's not with everybody, but with some people, it's a little bit of revisionism of what their point was. Big criticism with Paul Hurst was we didn't play attacking attractive football. That's what we're trying to do now. And with that comes problems. I think we've got to accept those sometimes.
Let's go through some of the comments because we're all going at about 90 miles an hour. Andrew Niles says, because we always play up from the back, there's no variations allowed. Stockport were able to set traps for us to pick us off. Nothing wrong with playing out, but need to have some variety. Steve Pacer, the third one of our players, actually steps back and the guy has a free header. All town players ball watching. People are talking about playing out from the back, but we played another different style under Hurst and that didn't seem to be working either. Ollie Hodson also says Thompson never looked favourite for that ball from the pontoon. Simon Hodson says Stockport obviously watched the Accrington game and saw that Thompson was the out ball and put Sarcevic on him to stop it. Jack Griffin, Artell needs to change his style of play until the start of next season. Staying in the Football League is more important than playing attractive football at this moment in time. Daniel Lewis, no, Cartwright, and this is into, you know, was Thompson on. Cartwright didn't signal to Curtis. He just kicked it to him. It doesn't need to signal to him that I'm going to pass him the ball. But yeah, if he's not on, he shouldn't make the pass. Run in front of him, but then both centre halves are too far apart. So, you know, it sounds like it's a bit of a... I felt really sad for Cartwright when I think Artell dug him out a little bit yesterday and I didn't think that was on. And I don't think that necessarily ends well for any manager if you start digging the players out, especially so early on. I don't know what you guys think of that. We'll have a quick chat when I've finished all these. Joss says, with their line of pressing us high or playing long early, as soon as the winning ball, we didn't seem to be prepared for it. No plan B versus better teams. Dan Lewis then comes back and says, it was from our own free kick. Mar and Rogers were just running back after Clifton. Fouled Harry should have stood in front of the ball until we reset. Even Hume wasn't back yet. Left Smith basically on his own with two of them. Steve Page says, can't play out from the back. The only team I've seen us play is Premier League teams. Well, Burnley did it, but you know, I get what you mean. Andrew Niles, when two centre-backs have the ball, there are no options to pass to. Midfield need to give alternate targets. That's always what Alan Buckley said, Andrew. You know, he never had a go at the person making the pass. He had a go at the players that were trying to give him the options or not giving the options. I'll leave it there. I don't know what you guys thought of. I didn't think it was a particularly dignified interview, you know, digging Cart right out. But I thought it was a bit of a strange interview anyway. Has anyone got anything to add to any of those comments?
Am I any better in terms of delay?
I mean, we can still hear you, but other than that, the connection's fine.
Okay. On the Artel interview, I didn't actually disagree with a lot of what he was saying. I don't think you do about Cartwright on the Humberside interview. I haven't heard the one with Scott Woodthorpe on the players. I wasn't. On the one hand, I kind of see where he's coming from when he says when he basically said that the fans aren't helping with the way we're playing. I think that's probably accurate. I mean, it wouldn't be the first time a Grimsby Town manager's criticised Town fans for being kind of the atmosphere not being great. But nevertheless, I think it's pretty ill-judged to say it, given there's not a lot of goodwill going around at the moment. He's got no credit in the bank. He's got no body of work to fall back on. And I can't warm to the guy, if you get what I mean by that. I don't get Holloway and Bignett vibes with him, where I think he's a complete wally who needs to... But I find something is slightly off about him. I'm not saying it's not going to work. I'm still remain quite open-minded about it to a certain extent, but I can certainly see how this may spiral. And I think if we lose on Tuesday night, maybe again on Saturday, it could really become very ugly very quickly. So what are you going to say?
What were you going to say, Bruce?
It's. I think what's different, Sam, is that we were struggling. Paul Hurst had signed these players in the summer and Paul Hurst was struggling, couldn't get a tune out of them. You take on a new manager, we were slipping down the league. And what's happened is that I think what's different with Artel to what you would expect in any other sort of situation like this, he hasn't gone down the standard route that you would expect for a manager taking over a team in that situation, which would be to shore things up from the back and, you know, when we build, we start getting some clean sheets, because under Hurst, we'd lost the ability to get clean sheets. And most people would expect a new manager, no matter who it was, to come in. And the priority would be to stop us shipping goals. Under Hurst, we couldn't score enough. And then when we started conceding, it became a problem. And then we slowly under Hurst went the other way, didn't we? We were scoring, but we were conceding under Hurst-like numbers of goals. And he's not come in and done that. He's just tried to sort of sweep everything to one side and bring in this new style of play. And I think that's probably why it looks and feels quite different. I'm not saying it's right or wrong, and the proof will be at the end of the season in what happens. And maybe not so much even what happens in our situation, because in 2008-09, we stayed up, but we were the worst team in the league, barring Chester. That was the season after, wasn't it? No, we were the worst team, I think, weren't we? Didn't two of the points deduction teams go down? I can't remember.
Chester got a points deduction. That's always forgotten in that.
We were the worst team in the Football League that year, and we stayed up. And you wouldn't say that was a success. We did nothing and we got relegated the following season. But so staying up this season, after having half the season, you know, probably isn't a massive achievement. It would be enough that, you know, you would then go on and hope that he would develop his own thing going forward. But it needs to be, you know, we could stay up. At what point have they got? 22 and 20 or something, haven't they? You know, we could stay up with 35 points this year.
From
46 games.
Yeah.
Those two don't look like, so that wouldn't be an achievement. That would be absolutely bloody shocking. But the point I'm trying to make is that it wouldn't necessarily, you know, at the end of the season, it might look like we've stayed up, but we might still have been bloody awful. They just happen to be two teams that are even worse.
Can I give my hot take on it? Is that these players, we've got a squad of Nathan Jarman. I don't know if anyone remembers Danny North's interview with us, but he said Nathan Jarman was Messi in training, and then he was Nathan Jarman when we were playing. I think these players are like that. I think these players have both flattered to deceive both Artel and Hurst through their time this season. I think they are all very technically gifted players and are technically better than the team we had last year. But they lack focus, they lack drive, they lack determination, and they lack the football intelligence to play a pragmatic approach when they need to. And Artel, to try and give Artel some credit, I think the remit that he came in with is different to the one that he now has, where I think we were technically closer to the relegation, but obviously it was before January. And this was a case of, look, these lads are just misfiring. All they need is a bit of a kick up the arse and they'll be absolutely fine. That has now changed to, we are actually in a bit of trouble here. We need to, you know, so much so sod the style of play. We need to just make sure we survive this season. And I think we might be getting into a point where that obviously will have to change. We've got five games in the next six that are massive.
Isn't that, that's my concern about it to a certain extent, that is there an unwillingness to change? Because I remember Jason's interview at Slough where he talked about the criteria for new Grimsby Town manager being to play the Grimsby way, sort of didn't really define what that was. But nonetheless, there was certainly an appetite after Hurst to play a more forward-thinking, attractive style. Is there an unwillingness, because that's his remit, or even a lack of capability to tell his players to do something different? It amounts to the same thing, ultimately. And as Bruce says, I don't think we'll go down this season, but I think Forest Green and Sutton, because Forest Green and Sutton are so poor. But isn't that what kind of like just has, it has me down at the moment, this does. I don't know about the rest of you, that despite the fact we've changed ownership, we've changed manager God knows how many times, we've changed players, we've made the whole ethos and culture of the club, the infrastructure behind it so much better, treated players so much better, and yet we're back here again, hoping there are two teams worse than us. That's where I'm at the moment with it. Sorry for being a bit kind of miserable and ranty, but...
I think a lot of people feel like that on social media when you look round.
I can see why you think that, Sam. I would just preface with the fact I think this is very much a blip in terms of, you look at the last couple of years, there has been an upward trajectory. It's not been a lot the same, but we're obviously in a situation we don't want to be. Just in terms of what you say about Artel, I wonder if it's a case of he's thinking, what is the best way for this team to score goals and get points? And do you think this team trying to shut up shop and keep clean sheets is the way? Because I don't see them doing it. I see the way this team are going to get some results is to play on the front foot and to score goals, because they can do that. You look at the goals scored this season, it's way above what we scored last season with 18 games left, you know. But the defensive, it goes the other way as well. So I'm just wondering, is it the fact that, you know, this team can't shut up shop and play a safe, secure style of football until it's had some changes? So he's saying, right, we're going to have to score goals.
Jack wants to say something in terms of Jack Simpson says he agrees with what Sam was saying in terms of he can't warm to him. He thinks it's a bit about arrogance. He's almost coming in here to teach us the way of how to play attractive football. I think one of the problems as well is that Town fans, there's no other team, no other set of fans in the country that understand relegation better, and especially relegation to non-league better than Grimsby Town fans. We've seen it, we've lived it, we've endured it. And we've come close a couple of times before we actually did it as well. And to me, this season stinks of it. I'm more critical of the players now than I ever was of the other one. I dislike the 2009-2010 piss-up team as more than anything, but the same with the COVID cowards as well. But they didn't have half the support that these guys do in terms of the coaching available to them, strength and conditioning, analytics, hotels regularly, probably being paid far better than they were under Fenty. You know, they have all of this stuff available to them, whether it be, you know, without, you know, Paul Hurst talking about the balls not being inflated and, you know, giving COVID, you know, or going down to the Laceby Arms and getting pissed. Exactly how bad and dysfunctional are this team that they can't, they're matching a bunch of pissheads who spent most of the time getting drunk and fucking off to the Laceby Arms every week. How, and, you know, I'm struggling to get warm to the manager and to the players.
That's exactly my point, that they've got all this better stuff. Everything behind the scenes is so much better. And yet we're back here again. I agree with you on the team, but I mean, they're really struggling to warm to the players as well. There are certain players in the club I like, but most of them are players who've been here for a bit now.
Has no one told Sammy's gone yet?
What?
Sam's been away for a week. No one tell him.
Who's gone?
Don't worry, Tommy. It's not alleged. If you want to listen it out, it's the Under Kosh podcast, I think it is, with Paul Linwood. Go listen to it.
Yeah. You've beaten the panel on that one, mate.
The thing is, though, what we've got to think about is the future. A lot of these players, we're the ones, if this all goes absolutely worst case scenario, we end up back in non-league. You know, that remains to be seen what would happen with that, what would happen with the manager. But these players that we don't warm to, this manager that we can't quite warm to, we're going to have to try and back them and drag them from the stands almost out of the shit, because they'll all be gone. They'll all be gone, and we'll be left with a club that's in non-league if that's what happened.
Like it's happened before.
So we've got to try and. We've got to try and give them some sort of something, because, like you say, at the minute I don't know what's going wrong. Like Sam says, we've changed everything. Mike, I agree. You know, hopefully it's just a blip, and we look back in a year's time, and we're 10th in League Two. You know, and we look like we're heading in the right direction again. But what's happened this season between the players, the recruitment, and now how we're getting on so far? I would be interested to see, and if anyone's got time for me to tell me, we played 10 games under the manager now. Did somebody say
11?
Right, so somebody tell me out of interest, and I would genuinely be interested. I was going to try and have a look earlier. What points did we get from the last 11 league games under Hurst, and what points have we got from the first 11 under Artel? I would genuinely be interested to know that.
Funnily enough, Bruce, I actually did some of that this morning. I was having a conversation with someone, and we did some sort of points per game comparisons. So from 11 games, hold on, just let me get it up.
He's doing
this
what?
Is impressive, Sam.
It's almost like I told you.
I was like, Sam, do
5
it.
Points under Hurst.
Yes. Yeah, so in the last 10 games, it was 5 points under Hurst. Hurst had 16 games, 14 points. Pearson and Davis had 3 games and 5 points. Artel's had 11 games and 10 points, 0.191 points per game. So Pearson in is the takeaway from that from that analysis. Hurst won one of his last 11 games. Time ran out. But and in the early days, we were playing better football under Artel. But if you actually look back on it, go back to Harrogate. And before Christmas, we played badly that day.
I got halfway to Harrogate.
No, I got all the way to bloody York, just going out the station, before I got to go back all the way back to London. At Harrogate before Christmas, we were well beaten. It then could have been a cricket store on Boxing Day. We then beat a very, very poor Salford side. Suffered our worst home defeat in 77 years at home to Walsall. Freak game against Notts County. Absolutely dreadful. Me and my dad were almost like we were never felt so fed up at football as we did against Tranmere. A decent away point I wasn't there. I didn't even watch the game. And then yesterday, which was a sort of first half hour capitulation. That is not a good body of work, and that is the sort of form that leads a manager to being under scrutiny. Now, I'm not saying we should get rid of him. It's too early in the days. It's too early in the days, and the players have thrown one on manager under, well, through their own ineptitude, to throw one manager under the bus, which I struggled to forgive them for, and they'll throw this one under the bus as well. So we can't keep changing, but it doesn't mean the question can't be asked.
Can I just throw a more positive not positive, hopeful spin on this.
No, you can't.
We played awfully against. Well, I'm just looking at the time. It's 9:15, and I'm going to come off depressive. I'm not careful. We played Accrington, and by all accounts, like you, Sam, I didn't see the game. We were awful against Tranmere, but we lost 2-1. And we were not very good against a good team yesterday. Like Alex has said, and I think you've all said, we've got big games coming up now, but we've got some big games against some pretty shit teams as well. They're not going to be, you know, if we come out the other side of this and we're struggling, we go to Colchester on Tuesday night and they are not going to be able to play at the levels and the quality of Stockport because they just haven't got it. They haven't got the confidence. Their confidence, that, you know, they lost again yesterday, didn't they? Their confidence will be, they've got a new manager, but they haven't had the new manager, you know, they've only had him in for a couple of games. So he's not going to have had a lot of time to change a lot. By all accounts, they played okay yesterday and were a little bit unlucky to lose. But we've got a chance against these teams. Doncaster on Saturday, they got a bloody... Didn't they win yesterday? They got a win yesterday, I think. But these are not good teams, and we're not a good team at the moment. And at least we should be in a game against these people. And if we're not out the other side of this, then we're in trouble.
And I think that's why I hope Artel is saying something different in the background, because he needs to be telling these players, look, these next six games will make or break your season. Either we're going to spend up until May slogging it around trying to get out of this, or we can win. We can beat Doncaster, we can beat Colchester, we can beat Sutton, we can beat Forest Green, and we can have 12 points, and we've got distance then between us, and then we can be looking towards the middle of the pack, and this entire outlook changes. I'm terrified that he's not telling them that, and the lack of fight and desire I saw on Saturday when they're not putting themselves in front of the ball to stop a free kick that's aimlessly going, being, you know, put up to the other side of the pitch and not defending their lines, suggests that they're not in that mindset to go, actually, we need to fight for every battle, because they keep getting told they're better than they are when they're just not. Sorry, Mike.
If you want some more positivity, I would say, you know, we've related back to previous seasons. I think we're a long way ahead, because in all those seasons, we were always playing catch up. We still have a 7-point and a game in hand buffer here. And I think going into these next six or seven games, if you ask me, does the team before Artel and the team after Artel, which one has the better chance of winning more games? I think it's the one with Artel. You know, we might be patchy, we might have some terrible games, but we have played some good football and got some good results in there. It needs to get better, it needs to get more consistent. But I would back this team going away from home and playing some good football and scoring some goals against some of these teams. And I don't think we had that before. We looked like we couldn't score a goal for love nor money, and anybody was going to score a couple past us. Still look like we're going to concede a few, but now I always think if it's one or two, we're always in a game, because I think we're always going to create some chances. You know, Vernon came on again from the bench yesterday. He looked good. You know, we've got Danny Rose, he's scoring goals this season. Easter scoring goals. I think we just need to get on the front foot at some of these teams when we play them and not worry about them. And just say, look, we're better than them. Let's go and get a couple of results together. And I think if Artel can get together 3, 4, 5 results in a row, everybody changes. Because I go back to the central point. When Hurst left, there was a lot of people saying this is this type of football they wanted. And with some people, there's a bit of revisionism with it.
Well, they want results as well, though, Mike. But what I was going to say is that we're going to... Bruce,
I would argue, because last season they were getting results and they still weren't happy.
Yeah, we only picked up right at the end of the season. We got 3 scruffy wins, didn't we? But we would take that. Don't get me wrong. With that, you can't always say that that's better. But what I was just going to say is Tuesday night might be the perfect game for us. We're going to be away from home. We're going to have 350 probably tops. I think we sold a couple of hundred as of Saturday. You know, it's half term, isn't it? Which might add a few that are prepared to travel and get home in the early hours. But
we need a drum.
We're going to have a hardcore. We're going to have our hardcore there who will generally back the team to the hilt. And maybe going into an environment where, all right, one of their fans commented on something I was tweeting about earlier, and he said that, you know, there'll be a few more than there have been in previous games because they've got the new managers and they said that, you know, they've got the Cowleys in and they're, and they're all excited. But going into there with our hardcore behind us might be just what we need. You know, get the pressure off of being at home, and they'll get the support for a long period, and it might be just what they need. And if they don't take that opportunity, then we're
I didn't understand that though, Bruce. Because Artel said that as well. He said, oh, the pressure's off when we're away from home. We haven't fucking won away all season. What are you banging on about?
We got two clean sheets back to back. I think that's the point he's making.
One win away your season.
Now, but whether it's valid or not is another matter. But the point he's making is we do look a lot shorter at the back away from home. We've got two clean sheets back to back.
I wonder why.
This is the thing, though. If we lose on Tuesday... Sorry, Alex.
That's all right, go.
If we lose on Tuesday night, that kind of theory about we're better away from home and the pressure's off completely goes out the water, doesn't it? And then he's right under pressure, whether we like it or not. I get what you mean. He does come across, he's talking rubbish in interviews occasionally in terms of this cold air. We're way too good to go down. He's going to have to stop that because there is a genuine risk of it happening.
I know you guys have all said similar. I mean, I genuinely don't get it. I generally don't have a problem with him, with how he talks. It might just be perceptions on a personal basis, but I pretty much think what he said's been fine.
I wonder sometimes if it's just that he doesn't speak eloquently, and maybe that's what people come across. And I've seen people say, oh, he's supposed to have a, you know, he's supposed to, and I'm not, you know, my judgment's out
no,
with him.
No, but, do the,
you
know, do the impression. Who are you doing an impression of, Bruce?
No, people who say, oh, he's, you know, he's, no, I, was, no, I wasn't going to do an impression, but I was going to say that just because he speaks a certain way, I've seen people say on social media, oh, he's supposed to be, you know, he's supposed to be highly qualified and intelligent. Just the way you speak doesn't correlate to how bloody intelligent you are. So I think that's a, you know,
Bruce has broken the internet.
That's to be ignored. And, I hope it works, and I really want it to. But the most important thing for me at the moment is that we do the right things to stay up this season, and then you do what you want going forward. And if that's to have a hybrid approach between what he wants to do and what these players are capable of, that sees us safe, then we should be doing that. And actually, I've just remembered what I was going to say earlier about what you said about one of you said about what Challoner said in the interview. I hope that could be, if he listens to that, and it was easy to set traps for us, then I hope that we take that on board, because that could be Challoner coming out and sort of saying we set up, you know, with a plan, and the plan worked because the plan was quite obvious what they were doing. Then hopefully we won't make those same mistakes again.
Do you think, though, this comes back to the point I was making earlier on, that he's not, blinkered's too strong a word, but, or narrow-minded, sort of he just doesn't think like that. It's this kind of like Guardiola-esque perception of we're going to focus entirely on ourselves, and that means that'll sort the rest of it out. No. I'm not casting aspersions one way or the other regarding whether that's the right or wrong way to do it, but that seems to be the way he conducts himself.
No, I don't get that. I mean, you know, we've heard for years about we want to hear about how we're going to play and impress ourselves on other teams. So I think that's just a natural thing. You know, so I don't mind. I don't want to hear about Stockport from the Grimsby Town manager. I want to hear about us. I also think what doesn't help him for some people, again, I don't buy it. I think he talks as you find him. He doesn't look like he covers much up. He just speaks. Some managers in the past may say things they don't quite agree with. Paul Hurst was very good at, you know, being quite honest, but in a very measured way. And I think Dave Artell is somebody that just talks his mind. And that's a good thing, in my opinion, but it probably isn't a good thing to some people.
The other thing I'd like to make, I don't agree. I mean, you might have a different view on this. I'm happy for you to push back against it. I didn't agree with the main stand and the pontoon yesterday booing playing out from the back. It's very clear that's what they've been told to do. And these are probably the same people who were moaning about boring Hurst ball who fit forward. I don't think it does anybody any good. And I think it does kind of play into that view that it isn't helping the team. Whether Artel's right to point that out or not, it's a different argument.
I think that's the point Mike was making earlier, isn't it?
Sorry, I was off for that. Yeah. So sorry if I'm repeating people.
No, I get you. It'll be the same.
No, you're all right. No, you're all right. You said it in a slightly different way, but I think you're both making the same sort of point that this is what people ask for.
Yeah, I'm not casting everybody under the same sort of umbrella with it. I'm making a specific point about a certain element. But there's some people that...
Mikey McMahon.
..will boo it being passed out at the back. And then as soon as we play a long ball, they'll start moaning about it then. You know, so there's just some people you can't win with. I mean, at the end of the day, they're trying to retain possession, keep hold of the ball and dominate a game of football because we don't have the players to play a long game or get it up the pitch quickly. So I generally don't see the issue with it.
I thought you finished.
The issue we've had is not playing out from the back. It's shit defending. You know, it's simple as that.
The booing yesterday of the playing out from the back was born of the shit defending. That's what it was. People were frustrated. People were pissed off that within we were good for the first 20, Sam, weren't we? So within 25 minutes, we were, no, not in all seriousness, within quarter of an hour, we were...
I got my times a bit wrong. Yeah.
Basically, we'd lob that game away and they'd had to do nothing to win that game. And that's what people were pissed off with. And they took that out and they would have booed yesterday if we booted it long. If we were a long ball team and we booted it long, they would have booed that yesterday because nothing would have been right. And I'm not a booer. I moan to the people around me a lot. But I've just never been a booer. I would rather leave the ground. You know, when we've been really shit, some people will say, "Oh, you should stay till the end." I mean, I don't know if any of you saw the West Ham game today. The 5,000 that were still in the ground at the end of the game, a lot of them had just waited to boo. I would rather leave and take myself away from that because I've never felt right booing my own team. I've moaned about them, but I've never been a booer, and I would never stand and shout abuse at a player that was nearby on the same sort of thing, no matter how shit I think they've been. And it's each to their own. But I think the booing was born from the fact that we chucked away two soft goals and we were out of the game before we were even in it.
I think they probably as well as that, Bruce, I think a lot of people just want a higher level of urgency and intensity at times. And I think that might be not so much they want the ball smacked forward. They want to get the ball forward and score goals. So I think that might come into it as well, just a higher level of urgency.
Yeah. So who's going to Colchester? Tuesday night, half term. I expect everyone from London there, you know, going down to the wild west of Suffolk. Far further than you expect it to be. Bruce, are we bringing drum? What are the people from up north bringing? Like, it's about time they brought an atmosphere. Us Southern Mariners are desperate for you guys to actually pull something out apart from your regional booing. What are you going to bring to the atmosphere? Because we're having the ones that to do it all this year.
Just I'm going further north.
Vibes.
Oh, what a part-timer. Listen to this, not bothering. Backs against the wall. We need everybody together. Greater together, he's in steals. Oh, he's even going further away. He's so appalled by the team, he would rather be in a different country than have to put up with them lose to the Cowleys shithousery.
He's not going to another wedding, is he?
I am going to a wedding, Mike, actually. I am going to a wedding, yeah, but to be fair, mate, I'm less disappointed about missing this game. But
it is Essex, by the way, not Sussex.
I don't. It's not Essex.
So you're all going then? Are we having a bit of a pod gathering then, are we?
Yeah.
We will go. We will be there. We will suffer in the atmospheric ground that is the Colchester car park.
What's trains to Colchester, Sam?
They're 55 minutes from Liverpool Street and a 40-minute walk from the station because it's one of those stupid out-of-town...
It's a taxi for you and Mike, isn't it?
But the good news is it is recess, so it doesn't really matter what time I get in, so because I can work from home the following morning. I'm a bit late back.
Behave like it matters if it isn't recess at all.
Yeah, anyway. The best we can avoid you doing any work, the better.
Well, that's changed a bit, Mike. I'll be honest with you. In the last couple of weeks, anyone would think this is an election year.
The country could be burning down, and I get a message from Sam. Have you seen this about Lewis Hamilton? Shouldn't you be busy?
Alex, just before we finish up, I've written a couple of things down that I just wanted to mention, if that's all right. Despite the shit performance...
I'm loving this whole Bruce is in charge of the running order thing this week. I don't really know what's going on.
It just takes it whichever way he wants to take it, doesn't it?
I'm going to read my list right, before, on a bit of paper, and then I'm off.
Before the Fenwick takeover, The Grimsby women's team drew 1-1 this week. Feel that we're going to get a little bit more reporting on them as well, which will be great. Bruce, over to you. I'm still doing stuff. We're not finishing. So you're not contractually, you know, obligated to leave yet. Say what you want.
Do you want me to just go through my list all in one go?
Before you do, Bruce, is this meant to cheer us up? Because I'm getting the same feelings that guy off Love Island that said, you want me just to rap and lift the mood a bit?
I don't know what Love Island is, Mike. What's Love Island? Sam, what's Love Island?
Love Island. I'm going to pretend I don't know what Love Island is as well.
No, just Alex, what's Love Island?
It is effectively what Peter Till expects his entertainment.
Okay.
Do you know what, Bruce? If you knew what it was, you'd be really impressed with that. Really,
I do know what Love Island is. I do know what Love Island is.
Come on, that's good, isn't it? Can't you remember his greased up bod? Oh, of course you do. It's in the. It's behind the laptop.
I remember when we used to see in the stand. We used to admire Peter Till's other half.
You used to admire Peter Till's other half. I bet you, yeah, low a bit.
Not his arse. No, his other half. anyway, serious business.
Apparently, yeah.
Right, I just would like to put on record thanks to the club for the treatment of the ball girls yesterday. It's a great experience. So if you look after a team, and I think it's full for this year, but if you look after a team or you manage a team or anything like that, then keep your eyes peeled for next season because they'll have Vanarama vests on. But it will be it is a good experience for the kids, and the girls had a great time. Secondly, on my list, my old friend Tim at Mariners Archive has put out an appeal. The collection that he's got, and the of memorabilia and that sort of thing. He's off the scale, and he's actually got a photo of every player now who has played for town, I think, since 1912, and he's missing the 30 odd players that have played for the club, photos of them that have played for the club since they joined the league in whatever year it was. He's put an appeal out to for people who can maybe help out with pictures. Some of the players are local, so have a look on his Twitter account at Mariners Archive, or on his website marinersarchive.something, and see if you can help. And that's it. News over.
He didn't even have the dignity to leave himself on the camera. Trying to give him a bit of time there.
Sport and weather next.
Face for radio, Sport. Alex.
Absolutely. Also, we've got to say congratulations.
Sally Traffic Debbie with Cook. Bruce.
Debbie Cook, obviously her last game.
It's her fault. Thank you. Shit. I bet the players, I bet they'd have the fucking Scotch eggs before the game.
When's the CEO ever get you 3 points on a Saturday?
Yeah.
I just hope they put a relegation release clause in Artel's contract.
we might recall her.
But generally, all the best to Debbie. I think she's done some great work, and she's been here during quite a big change at the club. And I think off the field, at least, we've all seen that things are a lot more professional.
So. Yeah, same. I'm only joking. Sorry, Debbie. Not that you're listening.
Breaking sporting people. You've got that 3-year ban's coming now, isn't it?
She don't need to listen to our shit anymore, does she? See what Bordeaux is thinking about the games.
Is that everything we've got? Hands up for everyone coming to Colchester. It'll be great to see everyone. Not like part-time Bruce. Good stuff. Everyone is bollocking me.
Hang on, I didn't see Mike's arm go up.
Peer pressure.
Yes.
I'm going to be losing my stripes, Bruce, because after Colchester, my attendance for the next 2 months is absolutely shocking. You're going to be start calling me Mike.
Fucking get in. Here we go. I've got them all saved up.
I'm not going to Sutton. I'm not going to Gillingham. Not good.
So Mike's if you are a Southerner, Mike...
Mike's got 2 away games in a row and then 2 home games. You're going to do 4 on the spin for the first time since 1999.
I'll tell you something, though. How about that for a big plug? Sam is not at any of these games. So if you want to come and follow the Mariners...
Get yourself down.
get yourself down. It's going to be quieter and, you know, more peaceful.
Do you know when the club make games specific days, like, you know, equality
bring
day,
a buddy.
Bring a friend buddy. Can they make it, no, Sam isn't here day? Might add a couple of hundred on the gate.
It really might do. Oh, well, there we go. I don't know what to say. We've got to that point now.
Cheers, lads. That's really made me feel better.
Sam, how are we going to do on Tuesday?
There we go, popping off like a truck reversing.
I think we're going to... I'm going to go for it.
I'll work my stuff
draw.
In between his chatting.
A draw? Alex?
We're going to beat him 3-0.
Tell you the way now. Michael?
Don't do that. 2-0.
Two.
To us.
Oh, man. Bloody hell. What's that? Good.
We, of course, always beat Danny Cowley's sides, don't we? So,
Is he signing that big lump up front again, Matt Reed? Just in time to play us?
Kyle Hudlin in.
Oh, the man with the best agent in football. No, they've got Tom Hopper, haven't they? In that there, who they've got up top.
They were moaning about him. When I saw we wanted him, didn't we? And then they signed him, and they're moaning about him now.
We should have signed Hudlin and Cropper. That would have kept us up.
Yeah, absolutely agree, wholeheartedly.
I wish Manning was still here.
They've got a kindy, apparently, says Grimsby Way.
Well, he must be nearly as old as I am.
It doesn't need that much athleticism to score from the penalty spot, Bruce.
It's just Colchester's turn to have him. He'll be out to him one day.
That's good, though. That's not.
It's
his brother we have a problem with.
He'll be onside, won't he? Because of where our centre halves are usually on the byline now, passing it across the goal line. See, look at them umps have gone. Two or three of them yesterday would have gone in.
it's not a kindy we need to worry about. It's his half brother, a kindy Penn. That's the guy we need to worry about. Did he score a hat trick of penalties against one?
Were you interrupting Bruce for that joke? Is that what that was? Oh, my word.
I think you persevered well there, Bruce. Well done, mate.
Yeah.
I assumed it was the delay, and he was just chipping in with his take on the first goal.
You're getting heckled from 10 minutes ago.
Yeah, yeah. He's having a laugh at my expense, so it's all right. I can take it.
What are we calling the podcast? Because I don't really know what to title it. And none of you come back on the WhatsApp group after. So I want to everybody's involvement. What should we call this podcast?
No, hang on.
Everyone,
some of us do come back on the WhatsApp after, but nobody's choice gets picked. Don't think I've ever had one name chosen.
I don't think that's true.
Actually, it's probably not.
Alex, call it Mike's pod name.
I think it'd be very fitting to name it after Handyside, to be fair.
No, Sam allowed. Yeah, well, yeah, that's a good.
Yeah, well, it's just what you call it, though, isn't it? It's just got to be right. It doesn't want to sound tacky, does it? Either.
No, exactly. That's the thing, and these are the problems I have when you guys all go to bed, and I'm there editing it. But we've gone for a whole 1 minute and eight, you know, 1 hour and 8 minutes, which is far more than the players have done this week.
Something simple like "Thanks for everything, Peter," or something like that.
So it's a podcast, not a birthday card. Yeah, we'll have to have a think. Someone's come in with a comment. Oh, yeah, how we love Handyside now. That would be good, David. Yeah, Bruce in charge.
It could be Bruce just going, look at me. I am the captain now.
Yeah, that's true.
Bruce, with his rallying cry, your club needs you.
Can we... okay, Sam doesn't understand how podcast titles work.
Well, we're nearly at 9:10 now. There's that 10 minutes. If you're still listening, Jason, you could have turned off 10 minutes ago.
97 people are still listening. 95 now.
95 people. We're dancing on ice with their YouTube on.
Shall we just wait here? We'll wait them all out, and you know, when we everyone turn off, we're going to stay here until you've all gone. It's gone up to 99.
They've all waited for Bruce's game because we haven't got a Bruce's game this week.
Jane Boynton likes to have a glass of wine with the pod. We ought to stay on 100. One night for like 3 or 4 hours and sit, and then we'll ask her husband to send us a photo of what sort of state she's in.
99. This is not going to work, this game, is it? Let's all just, you know, try and hold out against our own listeners. Bruce, have you got anything else to sell? You got anything else to flog? How many laptops you got left?
Have you nicked time and found out?
They've all gone. I've got Claire's old mobile phone here, but it's going to Mazuma because it's got a broken screen.
Oh, well, if anybody wants a broken screened iPhone, you're more than welcome to. The prints are still available as well if you want to buy any of them. Thank you for everyone who keeps buying. That's really appreciated.
The flag isn't.
The flag is not. I will. Do you know what? Shall we raise some money for a flag? It costs like 40 quid.
They're very good prints.
Thank you, mate. Really appreciated.
There you go.
Where's the flag? Where's our flag? There's your pod title.
No, we've done that one before.
Right, we need to go now.
That's never stopped 92. Us. That's never stopped us flogging something, mate. We've done it before.
98.
I tell you what, actually, I am selling. I am selling, and it's not very successful. I've got a great pile here of England cricket programmes, which I was selling.
Ooh.
But if anyone wants to pay for postage, they can have them because I'm fed up of them.
Bruce, have you got any with Stuart Broad in on the front? That's Alistair Cook.
Hang on.
You're now watching
Trot. Is that Trot?
That's Jonathan Trot. I met him a couple of weeks ago.
Are we all just watching Cookie? A man show his pictures of cricketers now?
This is more fun than the game. England
Joe Root under the helmet.
Yep.
This is the man who said a minute ago, we need to go, and now he's trying to flog.
Bruce, if the answer's no, you can just say no. You don't have to show us it's no.
England. Scratch our captain, we'll take the urn home. Oh, there you go, look.
Right, I'll have that one, please. Thank you very much.
That's for Alex's private collection.
Hang on, I've got...
I'll have the other one, then. You could send one to each of us.
I've got three Stuart Broads, look.
Send one to each of us.
Simon Hodson, you're going to the town game on Tuesday. Can you go round to Bruce's and pick up the programmes? 88.
Yeah, pick 'em. Oh, no, actually, it's got to be round here before 7:20 in the morning because that's the time I'm at the station.
Where are you going? Oh, you're going to Edinburgh, aren't you?
Edinburgh.
There
right,
we go.
I'm off. Right, I'll see you later.
I love you all. Let's all chill out a little bit. You know, and let's get down to Colchester because we need to make sure we get 3 points.
Up the Mariners,
or at least stay in the same position they are at the moment so we don't get relegated. Mike, Sam, anything to add?
I've just got to say, Bruce is so keen to get off. He's definitely not going to be here after the titles, is he?
Absolutely not. Right, see you all later, and long live the wonderful Peter Handerside. Oh, that didn't have any sound on. We can't play that. Let's go. Open wide for some soccer!
And now the shipping forecast issued by the Met Office on behalf of the Maritime and Coast Guard Agency at 1130.
Go!
We're at 1130.
I don't think I've ever wanted to be in a stand more than my life around here. They're going crazy.
They got plenty here, they've
been
fish flying about now. There's no tomorrow.
What a magnificent piece of football!
A really, really good shot! You can't make the strength of that!
Peter Handyside goes to the near post. Richard Smith is in there, gets it. Peter Handyside! 1-0! Peter Handyside! It was beautifully won by Smithy, the big centre-half. Got it to the far post and in came Peter Handyside. That's a well-worked corner, Dave.
Yes, obviously worked well in the training ground.
Thank you.